Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A new variant, same old fears. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. There is a new COVID variant. For now, it's known as B11529. It has more than 30 mutations in its spike protein. That's around double the mutations found in Delta, and it has some of the same mutations that appear to have made Delta so contagious. Is first identified in South Africa, where it's now the dominant strain, and cases have now been found in Hong Kong and Israel. The WHO is holding a meeting next week over this. Governments and markets have already reacted. The UK and Israel have imposed travel bans on several African countries. And markets are, of course, a kind of barometer of public reaction. And looking to them, they are a bit spooked. The FTSE in London is down 2.7%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng closed down 2.7%. And Dow futures are down 2.3%. Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets in London, says this is particularly ill-timed ahead of the holidays.
I think there are a number of narratives at play here. Obviously, the thin trading conditions, the fact that this variant is highly transmissible, and the fact that Europe is having significant problems with a surge in Delta variant cases, which is struggling to cope with. So this coming on top of everything else is especially unwelcome, and it's feeding into concerns that Christmas could well be cancelled again. And I think when you bundle all of those factors together, it's not a particularly positive environment to be owning shares at this point in time. Now, it could, once the picture becomes clearer next week, prompt a little bit of a rebound. But the knee-jerk reaction is to shoot first, ask questions later, and that's essentially what markets are doing today.
Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets in London. The global semiconductor chip shortage could continue until the second half of next year. That's according to a projection earlier this month from Taiwan-based electronics manufacturer Foxconn. This is the same chip shortage that's driven car prices, both new and used, soaring. So if this pressure is to continue, what does that mean for inflation moving forward? Dr. Betsy Stevenson is professor of public policy and economics at the University of Michigan and joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
So Foxconn, one of the world's major contract producers of chips, says the shortage there, which affects so many industries, is going to be with us, you know, well into 2022. Does that worry you?
Well, you know, I think it's really important to think about the fundamentals of where inflation's coming from. And it comes from a place where demand is outstripping supply. You know, with the chip problem, what we saw was the pandemic changed the way we lived. And those changes led to us wanting to consume a lot of goods that use chips. And so demand for microchips is running more than 50% higher than supply. What we need to see is to see a supply expand. And until supply can sufficiently expand, we're going to see inflation in the price of the goods that use those chips. The problem is that there's been a pretty slow response, but I think we'll get there. So when it comes to something like chips, I don't see that as something that's going to contribute to long-run inflation pressures. In fact, I suspect that they're going to build new factories, that they're going to expand capacity, and that we'll see that that supply ultimately expands sufficiently to meet demand.
How long do you think this elevated inflation is going to be with us?
You know, I think that inflation in 2022 will be at a lower rate than inflation in 2021. But the problem is really demand outstripping supply. And inflation is a way to bring that into balance. There are other ways to bring that into balance. And I think that how long, you know, higher than normal rates of inflation last depend on what we do to bring that into balance. So how quickly do businesses invest in expanding their capacity so that we're able to produce more to meet demand? And what do members of Congress do and the president to perhaps help fuel that expanding capacity?
As prices have gone up, wages have gone up too. And I just wonder, is there a risk that people just start to expect higher than normal inflation? It's the norm. It gets baked into their requests for raises, gets baked into rents, just gets baked in. Is there a risk of that happening?
Well, certainly that is some of the fear. One of the reasons why inflation is problematic is because it does seem to redistribute. So if we look at what's happening with wage gains, it's pretty clear that the wage gains are disproportionately happening at the bottom of the income distribution. They're also disproportionately going to young people, people under the age of 25. We're not in a world where most people have, you know, a collective bargaining unit that negotiates long-term contracts that's able to really push in these sorts of inflation adjustments into their wages. And I think that's why ultimately what we'll see from this bout of inflation is a redistribution towards borrowers, people with a lot of student loans, people who have mortgages, away from lenders, and in terms of real wages, towards younger, lower income people and away from older, higher earners.
Dr. Betsy Stevenson, Professor of Public Policy and Economics at the University of Michigan, thank you so much.
It was a pleasure talking with you.
Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. Our engineers are Jay Siebold and Jake Cherry. And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.